Plum curculio is native to eastern North America, where it is a major pest of palm and stone fruits. Damage is easily recognized by crescent-shaped oviposition scars, which can warp fruit, and there's a zero tolerance for larvae in fruit destined for processing. There are very few organic management tactics, and these include repeated kaolin clay coverage of the tree from top to bottom, and some mechanical control methods using circle traps and pyramid traps. Whether using integrated pest management or conventional methods, it's very difficult to prevent this pest and its perennial cropping system. Historically, the only life stage attacked is the adult right before oviposition. In an integrated pest management program, optimally one would attack several life stages over a greater temporal scale. Entomopathogenic nematodes and entomopathogenic fungi offer the opportunity to potentially target these other life stages over a greater period of time during the year. The objectives of the study I'm presenting are to test the field efficacy of commercially available strains of fungi and nematodes targeting Plum curculio larvae, and secondly, to test susceptibility of Plum curculio adults to commercially available strains of fungi under laboratory conditions. The fungi we used were Metarhizium anisopliae strain F52 and Bovaria bassiana strain GHA. Strain GHA has a label for Plum curculio. We also used two nematodes, including Steinernema carpocapsi in organic formulation and Steinernema riobrave in a non-organic, more gelatinous formulation. First, I'd like to move on to the field experiment. You're looking between two rows of apples. Plum curculio larvae in the fourth instar dropped from fruit into the soil where they pupate. So this area under the tree is our area where we are applying these entomopathogens. All entomopathogens used were tested for viability directly after application. This is always greater than 95%. Bovaria was obtained from RSEF collection. It was cultured on rice in the lab and suspended in tween 80. Metarhizium was similarly suspended in tween 80 from a Novozymes granular product, and the nematodes were obtained from Becker Underwood Company. Larvae were obtained from field-collected fruit and were held in moist containers for less than 36 hours after their emergence from fruit before they were placed on soil. Larvae were added to entomopathogen-treated soil 0 days, 3 days, or 5 days after application. A 4-inch golf hole cutter was used to core soil, and the soil was placed into a pot and placed back into that hole, and the pots were secured on the top with a boll weevil trap top. There were 9 replicates of 3 pots blocked by row in the orchard, and the data we collected were the number of adults emerging from the pots. It's very important to monitor the environment for these entomopathogens. Soil moisture was monitored on days 0, 3, 5, and 8. It was between 11 and 16% during this time, which is assumed to be conducive to infection. Also, ambient temperature was monitored throughout the whole season, and I'd like to focus on the first 2 weeks. This is the first 2 weeks, and the highs were within the range of the temperature niche of either nematode, although riobrave has a higher temperature niche than carpocapsi. Steinernema riobrave resulted in the most suppression of emerged adults in all 3 time periods as compared to control. Also, Steinernema carpocapsi was significantly different from control and Bovaria with their respective dates. Next, I'll move on to the lab. Materials were also greater than 95% viable, and I used Bovaria and Metarhizium suspended in tween 80. We used 2-week-old adult Plum curculio from our laboratory colony, And adults were added to entomopathogen-treated soil. The soil was pre-sterilized in the autoclave and kept at 15% moisture in these 30 milliliter medicine cups. They were incubated near 100% relative humidity and fed with apples every 3 days. This was replicated 4 times, and the data we collected was mortality every 3 days and subsequent fungal outgrowth on the cadavers. Here we saw that the high rate of Bovaria was the only treatment that was significantly different from control. In the literature, nematodes have been tested against adults, but not with fungi. And so in conclusion, Rio Bravo significantly suppressed Pumpkerculi in the field when larvae were added 0-3 and 5 days after application, whereas Carpocapsi suppressed PC in the field when larvae were added 0 and 3 days after application, but not 5 days. A caveat to this is that Rio Bravo was in a non-OMRI formulation, whereas Carpocapsi was an organic formulation, so this isn't signifying a difference between strains or species. This would need to be tested with Rio Bravo in organic formulation. And lastly, Pumpkerculio adults experienced a higher mortality with continued exposure to a high rate of Bovaria on pre-sterilized sandy loam soil in the lab, and this should be tested in the field. And I'd like to acknowledge the following organizations and companies for their funding and materials, and the following student workers.
You have about 3 minutes for questions.
Okay.
When you were doing the larval assays with the metarhizium, were very soft, high infection from the metarhizium versus the Bavaria. Have you had a chance to repeat that? Is it curious that here with the adults you're seeing higher mortality from the Bavaria?
The question was that in a prior assay I've done, I saw higher infection with larvae in the laboratory with metarhizium than with Bovaria, and why do I have a difference when I test this with adults? I would say that, and I've read in the literature that different life stages can be differentially susceptible to different entomopathogens, so maybe this is a result of that. And I'd like to repeat the experiment also.
You've worked with various companies who provide material. Have you started to figure out the cost of the treatment?
The question was whether I've started to figure out the cost of the treatment so that it could be applicable for growers.
At the end of the day, yes.
Right. Not really.
next year.
Right. go ahead.
Do you think growers will readily accept the technology?
The question was whether growers would accept these and using these entomopathogens, and I think that we need to work on the formulations before they would accept this. Also, we would need to do a larger scale experiment to see whether this works in a realistic situation.
Now we have 3 minutes. You still have 3 minutes for questions.
Okay. Yeah.
How do you see the ability to potentially control the larvae with S. rio bravo fitting into an overall management strategy? You know, like, how is that going to contribute to the IPM program since, you know, since the law is not the damaging stage?
This would be prevention of the next year's infestation. The question was how would this fit into an IPM and how the larval stage isn't, well, the adults in the spring are attacking the fruit and laying the eggs, and that's where the damage is occurring. So how does attacking the subsequent larvae fit into the IPM? Okay, the question was, what's in the formulation of the nematodes that makes it non-organic? The organic formulation is sort of like a powdery vermiculite sort of formulation. It's very dry. And the non-organic formulation, which Rio Bravo is right now, supplied by that company, is kind of a gelatinous mixture. So it has some ingredients that aren't approved by the Organic Materials Review Institute.
Any side effects that you can expect, let's say, in rabbits?
I did set out a lot of pitfall traps in a larger area, but I haven't finished those yet. Mm-hmm.